Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere. You can find us on Twitter at Bobby Fantasy Pro and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Tags, how's it going, man?
It's going good, dude. It's Thursday, which means the primer is done. It's written. It's posted. It means that my week lightens up a little bit, and hopefully I get enough work done so that like maybe tomorrow afternoon I could take the wife to go see a movie or something.
There you go. That sounds good. So our guest today is Matthew Friedman of Fantasy Labs and producer of the RotoViz podcast and Fantasyland podcast. Matt can be found on Twitter at Matt F the Oracle. Matt, thanks for taking the time to talk today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So we've got a DFS show for y'all where we're going to be talking about cash game plays on FanDuel, cash game plays on DraftKings. Then we'll circle back around, talk about GPP plays, and then each give our lock of the week. We're going to go one position at a time, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, DST in that order. Let's do this, guys. Before we begin, though, we don't really have that much news. And frankly, if we did, I don't like to talk about it on the DFS shows because so much is going to change between now and setting your lineups. And there's just so much to talk about. So I do have one question, though. I've been getting so many questions on Twitter about Dalvin Cook. What do we do with him? He missed practice again Wednesday, Matt.
What do we do with Dalvin Cook? I don't know. I mean, he's not going in any of my lineups. I just don't feel comfortable enough with him.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that I'm definitely avoiding. And honestly, this matchup this week, it should be your reason. Like, you should almost be happy if you own him and that he's not practicing, because it gives you a reason to bench him, because the Eagles have still yet to allow 40 yards rushing to any running back this year. So it's kind of like the same way as it was last year. I want to say on the entire season, the Eagles defense allowed like 850 yards rushing, which is just stupid. So this is your excuse to bench Dalvin Cook, and he kind of should have been anyways.
Yeah, in season-long leagues, even if he's active, I'm benching Dalvin Cook. And a lot of people are saying, like, should I trade him? Should I trade him for Carlos Hyde? I wouldn't go that far, guys. I mean, he's still been really good when he plays. He just hasn't got that many touches yet. He's not healthy.
Yeah, no, he's looked pretty good, like, in terms of, like his movement and everything, but his offensive line has been terrible. Kirk Cousins hasn't been really great. So, I mean, I'm a little worried about him. I have him in the range of, like, a Jordan Howard, where it's like those two are a little concerning, but I think Jordan Howard has a better offensive line but doesn't have the receiving chops that Cook does, so they're in the same territory.
So I mentioned we're going to be talking about FanDuel contests in here, and if you haven't been to FanDuel sites, or if you haven't been in a couple years, they've got all these new kinds of contests. Like, you can do super flex leagues without DST. Instead of DST, you've got a second quarterback you can use, or you can use it as another running back or wide receiver. Just adds that much more strategy. And this year, when I've been playing my cash games, guys, I've been playing them on super flex because I feel like it rewards the more competent players. And, you know, DST is just kind of a crapshoot sometimes. So I don't like doing that. I've been playing the cash games over there. They also have a really cool one called Quick Pick Kickers, where you pick one kicker from each of the four tiers and then one super flex. It's a lot of fun. If you're just playing their normal games, that's cool too. But check out those games. It's awesome. And I'm really hoping the DFS long-term moves to this super flex option because, like I said, it rewards the more competent players. Okay, guys, let's move on over and talk about quarterbacks. for cash games, okay? So, Tags, who's one guy that really stands out to you in cash games at the quarterback position this week?
There's really only three players that I'm, like, even considering, and DraftKings is making it really tough to not, like, pay up for Ben and Matt Ryan, just because, like, those two are going to be involved in the shootout of the year. Like, I think if that game had an over-under of 60, I'd still say over. I just think that that game is just primed for, you know, fireworks all over the place, and they're not that expensive. Like, DraftKings has been doing it this year where the top-tier quarterbacks are not, like, 8,000 like they were last year. You have Ben at 6,900, you have Ryan at 66, but, you know, when it comes down to roster construction, I think you can afford those two this week. But if you wanted to save some money, and where I'm probably going to go, I'm probably going to go to Matt Stafford. He's going to be at home against Green Bay. The last six matchups against them, he's thrown at least two touchdown passes. We know that the Green Bay secondary has been mediocre at best. So, I mean, I think Stafford at home is a relatively safe play, and he costs, you know, 5,700. So he's relatively cheap, and he comes with a high floor.
Matt, who's the first quarterback that stands out in your mind in cash games?
Well, I like all of those guys that Tags mentioned there, and especially Stafford, who's someone popping in the model that I have at Fantasy Labs. And I really like the matchups that his three wide receivers have against the secondary for the Packers. A couple more players who stand out. Cam Newton at home. It's a weird situation. I don't know if people knew what to expect for Newton coming into this year with North Turner as his offensive coordinator, but he's been pretty much like the most efficient version of himself that we've ever seen. And it's happened without continuity along the offensive line. His left tackle is out. His right tackle is out. His all-pro guard from last year is now on another team, and he's doing it without Greg Olsen. But he's playing pretty much as well as he's ever played. And I think he has a pretty good matchup against the Giants. So he's intriguing. And then also, I hate to say this, but Blake Bortles without Leonard Fournette going against the Chiefs, who have just been destroyed by quarterbacks up to this point in the season. He's someone who's intriguing to me.
There are so many good plays, but in cash games at that price, at least on FanDuel, I can't avoid Blake Bortles. I agree with you that Cam Newton on DraftKings is the way to go. I think you like Stafford a little bit more, but I've got Newton in cash games because of the floor with his running. He's also getting the goal line carries. He's looked better as a passer. This Giants defense, I thought it was going to be better. I guess it is better, but it's still not very good. So I think we can pick on them. But on FanDuel, Cam Newton's 8,400. So I'm not even remotely considering for cash games.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, the thing is with Newton, it's like he's 6,400. And I don't think it's a bad matchup against the Giants. They have allowed at least three of the four quarterbacks they've played, they've allowed at least 36 rushing yards too. So the matchup is there for him. Like Devin Funchess is going to be taken away by Janoris Jenkins. So he should have a lot of high percentage throws to like Christian McCaffrey. He should run the ball again.
Coming off the bye too.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to like about Cam in this matchup.
It's hard to not spend an extra $200 on Matt Ryan, though, or to spend an extra $500 on Big Ben.
Right, that's the thing, is like you see those guys just sitting up there, and it's like, man, I feel like if you don't have a piece of that game somehow, some way, in either cash or tournaments, you're going to be screwed.
Yeah, and I don't really want to play James Conner because he's not as involved in the passing game. I think you just got to go with Julio and Antonio Brown. There's so many good value wide receivers that we'll talk about later, but I don't know how you can get away with not playing one or two of these guys.
Yeah, for sure. We're definitely talk about those guys and try and figure out which cash game wide receivers we settle on.
What do you think, Matt, about Russell Wilson at 5,100 on DraftKings? I mean, I know he's getting the Rams, but at that price, that's cheaper than Blake Bortles by quite a bit.
Yeah, it's a good price. He's someone I'm always a little conflicted about, just because his production, I think, seems to wax and wane. And then now he's in this Brian Schottenheimer offense, which I think is sort of like a Neanderthal throwback to the days of yore. So I'm just kind of not interested in that.
Well, plus he's got the hamstring injury, and so much of his production depends on his running. It hasn't been there this year.
I agree. It's just he's a stay away from me. I can understand why people like him. And all things considered, if he were healthy, if Doug Baldwin were like entirely back, I think Baldwin is still a little bit hampered. Like perfect situations for him, I would be interested in it. But I think it's too suboptimal right now.
Tags, is there anyone else you're even contemplating? Like, would you consider playing Pat Mahomes at 6,200?
No.
Yeah, me either. I think people are going to, though. I think he's going to be around 4 or 5% owned.
I wouldn't play him in tournaments or cash. Like, I wouldn't. I honestly, and I know that some people are saying, oh, you should at least have some exposure if you're setting a lot of lineups in tournaments. I won't have any.
I think it would be just flushing money down the toilet. There's been one good quarterback against them in the last, 20 games? You know, Jimmy G.
Well, that's the thing, is 22 fantasy points is the most they've allowed in their last 20 games, and that's not going to be enough to win you a tournament.
Yeah, definitely not.
Is that including playoffs?
No, it's not including playoffs.
Because Roethlisberger had a, didn't he have a pretty big game against them in the playoffs last year?
He did. That was like, I remember that Hail Mary pass at like the end of the first half where Martavis Bryant just kind of caught it because like there was, it was like so weird the way that everything kind of happened there. But I also think that Mahomes is off my radar because Sammy Watkins being out is a bigger thing than people realize. Watkins has been becoming more and more of a part of that offense. He was playing out of the slot. He takes some attention away from Tyreek Hill. And it's like now teams are going to bracket him. I know that the Jags run a lot of, if you want to take a chance on a Chiefs like player, don't do Patrick Mahomes, do Tyreek Hill, because he's someone that can shake defenders loose. And like, if they decide to leave him in man coverage against Ramsey or Boye, he can beat that. Like, he can beat them all day long because it's just, they can't hang with him while Mahomes scrambles out of the pocket. So
Jalen Ramsey is going to fight you for saying that. He probably doesn't listen to the show, but he's got a radar where if anyone says anything remotely negative about him, he will come get you.
It's not just him. It's any cornerback in the league can't hang with Tyreek Hill in man coverage for longer than a couple seconds. So that's the player. I mean, we'll get to tournament stuff, but yeah, Mahomes is definitely off my radar.
Yeah, this is one of the easier weeks at quarterback because like the past few weeks we've been saying, man, there's like 12, 13, 14 guys who are all similar values. How do we pick between them? For me, it's just, I mean, you've got the five. Big Ben, Cam Newton, Blake Bortles, Stafford, Ryan. I will not consider anybody else.
I can't play Bortles in cash. I mean, I would want to see at least multiple like good performances in a row from him, like where he gets on one of those streaks and he looked terrible
2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah. I just,
in a game where he was supposed to dominate.
I just don't want to trust all my cash. Like, this is supposed to be like the safe lineup. That's why I would rather just pay an extra few $100, get Stafford.
I don't know, man. I don't know if he's safer. I don't know because Bortles runs the ball and Kansas City's defense is that much worse. Fournette is out. Blake Bortles has done that in 4 out of his last 5 games where Fournette was out. He's the top fantasy quarterback over his last 10 weeks. That's not a small sample size. I'm running Bortles out there. I don't feel nervous about it whatsoever.
All right.
I guess I can't blame you for it, but okay, let's move on over and talk about running backs. Matt, we'll let you start with this one. Who's the name that pops the most for you?
It's hard to say because it's like either Todd Gurley or Melvin Gordon, and it's like, which one are you going to go with? I'm fine with going down a little bit in salary and going with Gordon instead of Gurley. Kind of weirdly, Gordon has the higher ceiling projection in our models, but Gurley has the higher median and higher floor projection in our models. So maybe that could impact the way that you go about this. James Conner is also someone who's interesting, although maybe not so much for cash. But I really like his matchup against the Falcons, who have just allowed running backs to have their way with them over the past month.
Man, on DraftKings, these guys are so expensive. $9,400 for Gurley, $8,600 for Melvin Gordon. But the thing is, there's just not... I mean, you look at the other running backs who you know are going to get touches, and none of them have very good matchups. Carlos Hyde faced Baltimore. You've got Saquon Barkley at Carolina.
Yeah, that's the thing with Connor. He's in that sweet spot where I think he has a really good matchup, and he's still getting like the vast majority of the backfield touches for the Steelers. So I think he's in that sweet spot.
He only had 9 carries, 3 receptions last week. And I understand it was against Baltimore, and this is a totally different ball game, but that kind of scares me. His snap count has been going down every single week, and this is 2 out of 4 weeks he's got fewer than 10 rushes, fewer than 20 rushing yards. I don't know if I want to play him in cash games, Tags. What do you think?
He's seen at least 5 targets in every game, so he's still involved in the passing game. I think the Steelers know that they're going to have to run the ball a little bit. They can do it against Atlanta. Atlanta's defense is just so shredded right now. I think they've lost like 4 of their top 11 defenders, and that's never going to work out to your favor. Like, they had to move Brian Poole to safety last week, move Desmond Trufant into the slot, and that brought rookie Isaiah Oliver onto the perimeter at cornerback. Like, this team is just searching for like resolution right now, and they can't find it. They're a mess everywhere. Knowing that this game has, you know, that James Conner is a home favorite and he's playing in a game that's got an over-under of, I think it's up to 57.5 or 58 right now, like, that's very appealing to me. Like, when you come up with a recipe for a cash game running back, you want someone who's at home ideally, you want someone who's game script proof, and you want someone who's part of a high-scoring game. He checks every single box, so yes, he is definitely in the consideration for cash. Now, I'm with Matt, though, in that I do want to get one of Gordon or Gurley in my lineup, and I'm torn on those two. Like, I was doing some lineup construction this morning, and Gurley is someone that I really, really want to play because it's like, last year he sucked against Seattle in week 5. He was like terrible. It was one of his worst career games. But then he bounced back after they lost a few pieces on their defense. He went for 180 yards and 4 total touchdowns against them in week 15. The thing is, they're going into Seattle LA knows they just want to walk out of this game with a win. What's the easiest way to do that? Hand Todd Gurley the ball a ton. They've had Jared Goff doing some work. Like, obviously, Goff, you know, 5 touchdowns last week. I just think that with Earl Thomas going, this defense is going to be looking for, you know, it's going to take some time for them to figure out what they're doing on defense. They were already short in the secondary as is. They just lost a starting linebacker this week in Kendricks. KJ Wright's not back. There's a lot of reasons I like Todd Gurley, and I just think he's a little bit safer than Melvin Gordon, because I think it's possible that Phillip Rivers, you know, throws a couple touchdowns to Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, or whatever, and Gordon finishes with a good day. But I just feel like Gurley is just a can't miss player.
For me, my top running back, and I love Gurley and Melvin Gordon. I want to use one of them, but the only way I'm going to be able to do that with using Antonio Brown and or Julio Jones as well is to get T.J. Yeldon in my lineup. T.J. Yeldon's going to be in all my cash game lineups on FanDuel and on DraftKings. He's a quality price. I mean, he's already got 50 rush attempts this season, guys.
Yeah. Matt, what do you think about Yeldon? I'm torn. I feel like his price is $5,600. I feel like it's okay. I don't know. I think he's a better tournament option for me than cash. What's your take on this?
I don't mind it in cash games. He is going against the Chiefs, who have allowed the most fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. So, like, the matchup is there. And with no Fournette, he's going to get the touches, presumably. My only question is, like, is he still dealing with any, like, hamstring or knee issues? Or, like, how is his health?
Yeah, no, everything I've heard about his health is good. It was an ankle injury that was limiting him when they gave Corey Grant that start, and Corey Grant flopped hard on his face. And then when you saw Fournette being pulled from the game last week, like, Yeldon looked really good. He fumbled the ball.
18 carries, yeah.
Yeah, he fumbled the ball, but they continued to give him work, so he's the guy for sure.
100 yards, 2 scores against the Jets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I don't really have a problem with it. I think he is probably someone who will be locked in for me. I normally wait till, like, Saturday really to start kind of digging into, like, lineup construction in terms of like health issues, like with running backs, because it's always, I feel like, so much in the air. But yeah, like, if he's healthy, the matchup kind of dictates that he would be in my cash games. Like, I imagine that, like, it will be Connor and it will be Yeldon, and then I will be debating between Gurley and Gordon.
Connor and Yeldon. Okay, that's interesting. Now, Kerryon Johnson, I don't love his price on FanDuel. On DraftKings, though, he's sitting there at $4,600. He gets Green Bay, and he's looked so much better. Is he someone you can trust in cash games, Matt?
Cash games? No, probably not, just because he's still playing such a reduced number of snaps. Even if he's out there getting touches, it's just it's something I don't feel confident in.
Yeah, he actually only had 10 touches last week against Dallas. He's got 4 fantasy points, 7, 11, and 12. That's not going to cut it. I mean, we need, even at $4,600, we need, what is it, 11 points out of him? He's got that once.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, I'm staying away.
I think a lot of people are going to use him, Tags. I also think a lot of people are going to use Christian McCaffrey against the Giants. Coming off the bye, he just had 28 rushes in his last game. I've even thought about sneaking down from Melvin Gordon to Christian McCaffrey as my number one running back. I mean, obviously I'm using Yeldon, but as my highest paid running back. Is this something you would at least consider?
I'd consider McCaffrey, and on DraftKings especially. Like I said, knowing that Devin Funchess is going to be taken out of this game, obviously Greg Olson's not playing. Ian Thomas has not really stepped up in his role to do anything. I mean, DJ Moore is playing a limited role. I mean, who's he going to throw to? Jarius Wright? Torrey Smith? I mean, these guys, I mean, they're seeing targets, but Christian McCaffrey is going to be involved. Don't let the 1 week where he had limited, like, what did he catch? Like, you see, like, 3 targets that week where he had 28 carries. So that's not the role that McCaffrey has.
Well, yeah, the week before that, he had 15 targets and he got 14 of them. He's got 68 touches in 3 games this year. He's a workhorse.
He's just so expensive. Like, he's $8,000. I would rather use James Conner at $7,500. But I mean, I don't fault anybody for wanting to like Christian McCaffrey, because I think he is a good play this week, especially on DraftKings. But one that nobody's mentioned, $6,300 for David Johnson just seems like it's asking me. It's like Tags, please pick me. Put me in your lineup. Like, you saw me score a touchdown last week, right? You saw that Josh Rosen was better than Sam Bradford, right? Yeah, I mean, you know that San Francisco is missing Richard Sherman, and Tart is still, like, dealing with an injury. He might not play. Like, put me in your lineup, Mike.
25 touches last week, too. They finally got him the ball more like they said they were going to, but he only scored 15 points. We have to get 16 points out of him for him to get cash game value. And he hasn't done that this year. I mean, I don't think I can trust him.
Against San Francisco, it's tempting, man. Matt, Matt, what do you think in this one? I actually think Arizona wins this game. I know that San Francisco is like a 4.5-point favorite, I think it is, but I think Arizona wins this game, which is another reason I'm kind of tempted to play David Johnson. But Matt, what's your take on this one?
So David Johnson, he scares me. Like, I am encouraged by the usage he saw last week. And I do agree with you guys that it, just in terms of the potential that the Cardinals have, I could see them winning this game, but I'm not going to bank on it. But I mean, the matchup is so good. The 49ers really have been the worst team against running backs in the league ever since Jim Harbaugh left. And like, that trend is still continuing.
Yeah, I just can't see getting him in there above Yeldon. I would take Connor above him. And then those three running backs at the top, Gurley, Gordon, McCaffrey. So, like, I do think he needs to be in the conversation. I was going to bring him up if you didn't, Tags, but he's, like, sixth for me, so.
No, it's, yeah, that's the thing. I wanted to mention him. He's not, like, atop my list where I, like, have to play him, but I think that it's a really good spot to play him. I also, I want to mention one more running back before we move to wide receiver. Derrick Henry, and nobody wants to talk about it. And the thing is, Derrick Henry, so it's in a PPR format, he doesn't have as much worth, but at 4,400, like, you're talking about a near minimum price running back. And going against this Buffalo team where it's like a get right game for this Tennessee Titans run game, I could see Derrick Henry having 100 yards and a touchdown or two. That would obviously live up. All you need him to score is literally 10 points, 10 or 11 points to hit value in your cash lineup. And then, like, putting him in there at 4,400 in your flex or wherever you want to put him, that allows you to do some big things at wide receiver. So
yeah, I think it's likely that he scores a touchdown.
Yeah.
So is he going to get, I mean, here's the thing. He's only played 26 snaps per game. I think that changes a little bit against Buffalo, but he's playing like 35% of snaps. I don't know, man. I can't do it at cash games. I can't.
I like that call. Not so much for cash games, but I do really like that. Because the Bills, like last year, they allowed the most fantasy points in the league to running backs. I think like around like 29 or 30 DK points. And they are right there again. Like 30.8 DK points allowed to running backs.
And that's with Minnesota running the ball 6 times in week 3. And it was even worse after they traded Marcell Dareus, as you might imagine. So, yeah, I think this is the team you pick on. I can't do it in cash games with Henry getting maybe 6 or 7 carries.
I don't think there's any way he gets 6 or 7 carries. That's the thing is, like, you think about, like, game script proof. Like, he's not game script proof for sure. I think Deion Lewis is a better tournament play than him. I think both of them can be played in tournaments. But in cash, man, I just don't see any way Buffalo puts up, like, you know, gets out to a 2-score lead and then Derrick Henry is, like, literally obsolete.
Yeah. He's actually, you know, he had 8 carries last game. But the game before that, 18 against Jacksonville, 18 against Houston.
That's the thing is, I want people to look at that. Like, I was looking at that when I was writing the primer this week. It's like, look at Derrick Henry's schedule and tell me what you expected out of him. Seriously, like, he played against so Miami in week 1. That was obviously, it was a weird game where it was like that game was delayed and then it was on and it was delayed again. And then the last 3 weeks, like, tell me who would play good in the schedule. The Houston Texans, one of the best run defenses in the league. Jacksonville Jaguars, one of the best defenses, period, in the league. The Philadelphia Eagles still have not allowed a 40-yard running back. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's just like, when you look at the schedule, you're like, wait, did we expect him to succeed against this? I mean, the Titans now have Jack Conklin back. He played his first game last week, but again, it was against Philly. They have a healthy offensive line. They need a confidence boost to this run game. And the way that they match up, the way that Tre'Davious White's going to be matched up with Corey Davis, I just feel like Derrick Henry, he allows me to do some crazy things in my lineup, and I like that.
So just straight up, Tags, is he in your lineup for cash games?
As of right now, yes. As of right now, like, I'm not, I pretty much, usually on Saturdays is where I'll sit down and I'll, like, take a final look, and sometimes I'll tinker on Sundays, which is just the worst thing to do. But usually on Saturdays when I finalize everything. So if I change my mind, I'll let everybody on Twitter know.
Yeah. Okay, guys, wide receiver here in just a second. But first, I want to talk about Lisa mattresses. So my wife was at a women's retreat for church last week, and apparently she didn't sleep very well, even though the beds were fine. But when she came back and slept on the Lisa mattress, she was like, I'm not ever leaving this thing again, because she sleeps so much better. We all sleep so much better on our Lisa mattress. Seriously, if you're away from it for one night, it changes the whole ball game. Guys, a quality night's sleep helps you recover from distractions faster, prevents burnouts, make better decisions, improve your memory, and overall just make fewer mistakes. It's not marketing, it is just science. To design a better mattress, Lisa leveraged 30 plus years of experience, hundreds of hours of testing to develop the perfect mattress for all body shapes and sleeping styles. Lisa's mission is to provide a better night's sleep for everybody. Through their 110 program, they donate one mattress for every 10 they sell. That's more than 26,000 mattresses and counting. Lisa strives to leave the world a better place than they found it. That doesn't stop with mattress donations, though. Together with the Arbor Day Foundation, Lisa plants one tree for every mattress they sell. They're committed to planting 1 million trees by 2025. Don't miss these fall savings. Get $160 off a Leesa mattress at leesa.com/fantasypros. That's LEESA.com/fantasypros. All right, Matt, on over to wide receiver. Can you get Antonio Brown and Julio Jones into your lineups, or do you just have to choose one?
I think you have to go with just one of them, especially if you're paying up for one of the premium running backs. So, yeah, for me, this is a week where I'm looking more at some of the cheaper wide receivers. For instance, Marvin Jones at 4,700 on DraftKings is someone who just really stands out to me. He's the guy who's popping the highest in my model right now.
Mike Williams at 4,200, same thing. Keelan Cole at Kansas City, 4,900. There's some incredible values, and those aren't even my favorite guys.
No, well, I mean, Mike Williams in cash, I wouldn't do that, especially when you have Jones at 47. Another one that's really, there's two actually options that are really cheap is Jordy Nelson. I know nobody wants to friggin' hear that, but 4,500, he's playing the slot. Like, he's running over half of his routes out of the slot.
Casey Hayward's going to destroy Amari Cooper. At least I think so, so.
That's the thing, is like Amari, even if Amari isn't like targeted heavily, that's fine. I mean, it is what it is, right? But the thing is Amari is going against, he has a tougher matchup. Jordy's been targeted a lot more over the last couple weeks. I also think Mohamed Sanu is being overlooked at 4,000. I think he could be played in cash lineups. Mohamed Sanu has been like fantastic, and like with Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley seeing so much attention, everything underneath is kind of like wide open for him.
He's in my lineup. I'm not thinking twice.
Yeah, for 4,000, like that's the thing. Like we were talking about that, like about the high end running backs, and I mean, I just put while we're talking here, I put together a lineup, and I put Connor and Yeldon as my running backs, and I put Henry in the flex. I was able to put Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, and Mohamed Sanu as my wide receivers, and I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah. I don't love Sanu on FanDuel for what it's worth because he's 5,600, which is, you know, 1,100 more than the minimum. But on DraftKings, I think that he is a lock. But I love D.D. Westbrook as well because I think he's the actual number one for the Jags. He's leading the team in air yards, targets, receptions, yards. He's a beast after the catch. I want exposure to this Jags receiver core against Kansas City, and he's pretty cheap as well. So I like D.D. Westbrook in my cash game lineups. Matt, do you have another name for us?
I'm looking, right? And what I see is a whole bunch of matchups that I really don't like.
Okay.
Throughout all of this, I don't like Devontae Adams, right, going against Darius Slay. I don't like Jarvis Landry having to go against Baltimore, especially since they have Jimmy Smith coming back. I think they just kind of threw out that secondary. They are very stacked. I obviously don't like Tyreek going against Jacksonville. I don't know if I really want to pay up for any of the LA Rams receivers, although like I do like them in general. I just don't know if I want to pay up for them going against Seattle, even though I don't think Seattle's secondary is very good. It's just hard to trust the distribution because none of those guys is really dominant over any of the other guys. So it seems to me that like, I guess it's a week in which I think I'm going to pay down. So like the guys we've mentioned, like Marvin Jones, Tyler Lockett is someone who is interesting at 4,600, although it's hard to know what his usage is going to be like now that Doug Baldwin is back. But yeah, I think it's going to be a week in which I'm looking for some of the cheaper players. John Brown is someone who is interesting.
He's a great price.
Yeah, 5,600 on DraftKings.
I like Tyler Boyd as well because we know that AJ Green's going to be covered by Xavier Howard, right? And so Tyler Boyd is going to be sitting there in the slot. And as long as he's healthy, I think he is. He might have suffered a concussion at the end of the game, but I haven't heard anything about that. They took him off the field with like 30 seconds to go, and so there was no concussion protocol or anything. But he's cheap. He's been awesome. I think you can use him in cash games. On DraftKings, you can't use Kenny Golladay. Well, I guess you could. There's no problem with using him against Green Bay, but on FanDuel, you have to use him. $6,300 for Kenny Golladay. That's really cheap. That's cheaper than Michael Crabtree. Corey Davis against Tre'Davious White, who I don't want to use. Amari Cooper against Casey Hayward, who I don't want to use. Cheaper than Tyler Lockett. It's a great price for Kenny Golladay. On DraftKings, Tags, I got to ask you, because I know you play a lot of DraftKings. Larry Fitzgerald, he's been questionable, but his price, and he's an absolute reception machine, $4,700. Can you do it if he's active?
I'm not touching him, man. Kawan Williams is their slot cornerback there, and a lot of people played Fitz last year. I remember this like clearly because I didn't know how to feel about it because they had just given Kawan Williams a contract extension before that game. And people were talking about how like he was going to be out celebrating, and then he had to match up with Larry Fitzgerald the next day, and it was going to be this big old thing. I want to say Fitzgerald ended up with like 32 yards. He did catch a touchdown, but it was in overtime. So it was like a very garbage time touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald in that game. So knowing he's dealing with a bum hamstring, I'm not trusting him, especially when you have Marvin Jones at the same price. You have Jordy Nelson cheaper. You have Mohamed Sanu cheaper. DeeDee Westbrook is someone that I'm not touching either. Like, I don't have him in my top 40 wide receivers this week. I don't like his matchup against Kendall Fuller. I think Keelan Cole is definitely, I mean, he's only 200 more expensive. I would rather play Cole.
I don't think Cole's super safe though.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I don't know if any Jags wide receiver is safe, but at 4,900, it's not bad. But Emmanuel Sanders, I know that Case Keenum has been terrible. However, Emmanuel Sanders, 7,100, he's expensive. They're making you pay for him, but he's a player, like, if you're not wanting to spend up, or if you can't afford, you know, Julio or Antonio Brown, and you want to spend up to get some guaranteed production, I think Emmanuel Sanders against Buster Skrine is one of the biggest mismatches of the week, and that's something that they need to exploit. Like, Emmanuel Sanders, even though Case Keenum has been terrible, Sanders is still, I think, the number 19 wide receiver on the year, so he's someone I like quite a bit.
You know who I wish was on the main slate is Ryan Grant. I would use him in 1,000% of my lineups. it's like the easiest call ever with T.Y. Hilton out.
Yeah, there's definitely, I always hate when primetime games have players that are priced wrong, and I'm like, dang.
Looking at this, I really like Keelan Cole this week.
Okay.
Because I do like his matchup against the Chiefs, and I think he is still the number one receiver there. He's had two bad weeks, so he's cheaper now than he was previously, and he has like one of the best matchups that any receiver can have this year. You know, if we look back to when he first became basically like the number one receiver in that offense, like the final five games of last year, like even with his recent swoon in production, he's still going around like, I think, over like 15 DraftKings points per game. Like, he's still been productive. So I know that there's some volatility there with how he gets his production. But I think because of the matchup, I will be inclined to trust it, especially since he's cheaper than 5,000.
Yeah, and Marvin Jones, by the way, I just want to, some people might be asking about Marvin Jones, being like, well, why would we play Marvin Jones? Well, he's 4,700, so that's first off.
At a certain price, you can play anybody.
Well, it's ridiculous, but you still need production, right? Here's the thing. Marvin Jones, the last 2 years against the Packers, listen to these games. The most recent one being 4 catches, 81 yards, and a touchdown. The one before that, 7 catches, 107 yards, 2 touchdowns. The one before that, 5 catches for 76 yards. The one before that, 6 catches for 205 yards and 2 touchdowns. He destroys the secondary. And I know that Kenny Galladay's there, and Galladay's going to steal some of that thunder, but Marvin Jones at 4,700 just seems like it's too easy.
Guys, I forgot one of my favorite running back plays. I can't believe I forgot to talk about Matt Breida against Arizona, because Arizona has been one of the two worst teams against running backs this year. We know that Alfred Morris is beginning fewer and fewer snaps. We know that C.J. Beathard throws the ball to running backs more than any other quarterback in the last decade. And so, I mean, I think he's a good, cheap play. If we want to be able to spend up on Antonio Brown and Julio Jones, and I do, I could see playing him, playing T.J. Yeldon, and who was the other guy, Derrick Henry. I wouldn't be opposed to that whatsoever.
Yeah, Breida is so interesting to me. So, like, Alfred Morris has been trending down in snaps. Meanwhile, Breida's been trending up. Now, he played 38 of 60 snaps last week, which tells me that his knee is okay. I know he's been limited in practice this week as well, but looking at the Cardinals and their defense, like, that's been struggling. They've been changing around linebackers. They've had a pretty tough schedule to start. They played Adrian Peterson, Todd Gurley, and then Jordan Howard. They have allowed 7 rushing touchdowns, though. The question is, who's the goal line back? Because that's what you need. Like, I don't think Matt Breida is going to rush for over 100 yards. Like, against Arizona so far, Jordan Howard didn't. Todd Gurley didn't. Adrian Peterson didn't. So you're looking for a touchdown or touchdowns. Alfred Morris has more red zone carries to this point. But again, he's been losing snaps. I think Breida is a good tournament play. I don't think I could trust him in cash just yet, though.
All right, guys, let's move on over to tight end. I have one guy that is far and away my favorite. Matt, we'll let you go first. Who's the guy that you're targeting right now?
I'm wrong. I'm just going to say, like, I know I'm wrong.
Everyone's wrong at tight end. We have no idea what rando is going to get 2 touchdowns.
Okay, so if you're not looking for Kelce and Ertz, and I'm not a big fan of either of their matchups this week, I think, like, Jared Cook or George Kittle is someone I'm looking at. Kittle, in part, just because he's getting so much usage there. And then Cook, because he has gotten a lot of usage, but I think he also has a pretty tough matchup this week going against Derwin James. So, like, I would like to hear what you guys think about Jared Cook.
Jared Cook, I feel like we've been here with Jared Cook before. like, you know, talking about Jordy Nelson, that call, I mean, it's part of the reason is because, like, Amari Cooper matched up with Casey Hayward for the majority of the day. Like, I don't know. I don't even know if they're going to shadow Amari Cooper. Like, they haven't really done too much shadowing. This defense is different, though. Like, while people want to compare Casey Hayward's matchup to Amari Cooper last year, don't forget that they had a crazy pass rush last year and they had to get the ball out quicker. It's going to be tough for Casey Hayward to hang with Amari Cooper that long. Jared Cook is seeing so many targets in this offense, it's hard to look away. But at 4,800, he's not like priced cheap anymore. Like, I liked him when he was like 3,800, 4,100 maybe. But when you get up to like the 4,800 range, it's kind of like that's going to limit me at some of my other positions. So it's almost like I'm paying up a tight end or I'm going down. Like, he's stuck in the middle. Because I do like Jimmy Graham this week at 4,700, but I'm not going to play him in cash because he's kind of like in that middle ground. I'm like forced to like look lower. Like, I like Vance McDonald at 3,700. Again, like, you want as many parts of that game as you can have. And I think like Ben Roethlisberger is struggling to throw the deep ball right now, which statistically he's like 28th in the NFL in terms of like his deep ball accuracy. He's terrible at throwing the deep ball right now. So if he needs some confidence builders, McDonald's there. If you want to look down a little bit more, you can go to David Njoku or Austin Hooper. Like, those guys are 34 and 3,000. Like, they're really cheap. And if you want a bottom of the barrel, like, absolutely, like, dirt minimum, $2,500, Nick friggin' Vanette.
I've got him top 12 this week now, man.
Yeah, so Will Disley down for the year. So looking at the Rams, and like, we know that the Rams are going to put up points. That's going to happen against Seattle. That's like happening. And like, when you look at the Rams defense, they are missing Aqib Talib. Some of their linebackers, they skimped on a little bit this offseason. So they're paying the price, and they've allowed the third most receptions to tight ends, the fourth most yardage. I just think, like, between Vanette and Disley, they combined for 28 targets the first four games, and you're not going to give his backup any more than like a target or two. So I think Nick Vanette is like, if you're looking for someone like you just want to jam some big names in your lineup, I think Nick Vanette allows you to get it done.
I think it works for sure. To be clear, I think that Jared Cook is probably going to be the highest owned tight end. He's not a bad value by any means, but I look at his schedule. Let me just say this. Every week when I set my tight end rankings, I look to see who the Rams, the Broncos, the Dolphins, the Browns, and the Giants are playing. Jared Cook has played four of those teams in his first 4 weeks, right? I mean, those are four of the easiest teams against tight end, so I'm not surprised he's done really well. We've seen this before. I think he takes a step back. If he does well against the Chargers, I'm all in on Jared Cook because I could see a situation where he becomes the guy even at 31 years old, whatever he is, but I'm not willing to bet on it quite in cash games. For me, it is Vance McDonald. Lock him in big time, especially on DraftKings. 3,700 in this shootout. Oh, yeah, baby.
Yeah, well, so real quick, I just want to mention, because a lot of people are going to look at the Chargers game that George Kittle lit them up last week, and that's the reason to play Jared Cook. But George Kittle, like almost like, you know, 75% of his yardage and like 90% of his production came on one play. It was an 82-yard touchdown, a lot of yards after the catch. Like, he had 85 yards after the catch last week of his 125. So outside of that 82-yard touchdown, I mean, he had like, what, 43 yards? So it wasn't like a crazy game for him. And before that, they held Travis Kelce to one catch for 6 yards in week one. Charles Clay, two catches, 29 yards in week two. I know it's the Bills. I'm not gonna argue with anybody on that one. But at the same time, it's just like, when I'm looking for cash, and especially if I'm going to go to like 4,800 for Cook, I just can't. This guy has burned us too many times. Like, too many times. Like, his career numbers, like, just looking at him, it's very rare to see him string together so many good performances. And he's played with some good quarterbacks. I mean, he went and played with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's played with Derek Carr, obviously, before. And we've seen these breakout performances. Like, last year, he had a couple games where he popped off, and then he just kind of went back to his three catches for 30 yards.
The only other guy I'm really considering besides McDonald and Cook is David Njoku. I know he's going against Baltimore, but I actually think that works to his favor because you talked about their secondary and all the guys they have, but up the middle, they're a little bit weaker, and he's $3,400. I think he's their top red zone threat. He's getting plenty of targets since Mayfield took over. Matt, is he someone you would consider as well?
Yeah, I like him long term. And one thing that's kind of weird, we haven't really seen it this year, but last year, Baltimore had like what I'm like a tight end funnel, where like they were really strong on the outside, but they were weak against tight ends. And so yeah, it's possible that Njoku could have a good game against them. And I mean, he has so much talent, and I think the switch to Mayfield is probably good for him. So he's someone who's intriguing. Yeah, I mean, definitely intriguing. Like, I bet his yardage prop last week, you know, like, so I'm definitely looking for him. But I think McDonald, I think that's right. Vance McDonald, like, I've started looking, like, as we've been talking, I've been playing around with lineup constructions. I think McDonald is the guy.
Is there anybody that you guys would consider, well, at least on FanDuel, where Tennessee's price is so much better? They're $3,900 on FanDuel. I can't possibly see myself playing anyone else in cash games against Buffalo.
Well, I mean, with that low price, I wouldn't blame you. Like, I think that they're the number one defense for sure, but you're paying for it on DraftKings.
On DraftKings, yeah, they're $4,000, where everyone else is sitting at like $2,200.
Yeah, it's like crazy. The defenses are stacked down there. Like, Matt, I'm not sure where you're at on defenses this week, but I'm debating Cleveland, actually, $2,500 against Baltimore. They're going to be at home. Baltimore is kind of due for a letdown. Like, I don't think Joe Flacco is going to continue to play at like the level he's been. Their offensive line is stout. It's competent. But I think Cleveland matches up well with that team. Like, if Denzel Ward matches up with John Brown and can hang with him, they have good safety play there. Michael Crabtree's been pretty terrible. I feel like they at least present a solid floor, and you're only paying $2,500.
I don't think that Baltimore's offense, obviously we're not going to see them continue to produce as they have in the first month of the season, but I still think they're much better than they have been previously. So I kind of just want to stay away from that situation. Like Denver is much more interesting to me going against the Jets. Like, I have no respect for the Jets. And Denver's defense isn't quite as good as it used to be, but I think it still has the pass rushing capability. And their secondary doesn't need to be what it was for them still to be good enough to shut down the receivers that the Jets are throwing out there, especially because Chris Harris plays exclusively in the slot. Well, not exclusively, but primarily in the slot. And, you know, Darnold is basically locking into Quincy Enunwa in the slot as his primary receiver. So if they're able basically to shut down the number one option in the passing offense for the Jets, I don't see what the Jets really are going to be able to do. So Denver is where I'm looking if I'm not going with Tennessee.
They've already got 10 sacks this season as well. Denver caught my eye. I don't mind the Cleveland call at all, but for me on DraftKings, it's Baltimore going at Cleveland. I mean, don't forget, Baker Mayfield threw a pick six last week. He had two fumbles. He was sacked twice. I just think this is a safe play at $2,800.
With Baker, I don't know. I mean, I think Baker, like, it was his first NFL start, and he was on the road in Oakland. That was always going to be a tough place to play, your first NFL start. But I like Matt's call on the Broncos. If you go up to that price range, the Panthers aren't bad either, though. Like, you look at Eli Manning, he's been sacked, what, 15 times through four games? And the Panthers are coming off their bye. And before their bye, they sacked Dak Prescott six times. So, like, that defense, that front is starting to come together. Like, Dante Jackson has three interceptions through three games, which is just kind of crazy. James Bradbury has been playing solid. I mean, if they're not getting the ball down the field, then the Panthers' defense should be able to take advantage of some stuff. But that's, like, at each level. Like, I like Tennessee, high price, Carolina mid, Cleveland, or Philadelphia was the last one I wanted to mention. I think Philadelphia at home against Minnesota and that brutal offensive line that Minnesota puts out there.
All right, guys, let's flip it over. We'll go in reverse with the position. So sticking at DST for GPP contest. So for these ones, we want players who are sometimes contrarian and who could break out and have a huge game. For me at DST, I want the Jags. I think they're going to be less than 0.5% owned, even in GPP contests, because they're traveling to Kansas City. Mahomes hasn't turned the ball over once. But if any team can put up 20 points against Kansas City, it's definitely the Jags, right?
It's not a bad one. I think that's a good call for tournaments. I think they'll be more than 0.5% owned, just because like how cheap they are at $2,800. But what do you think about it, Matt?
Yeah, we have them projected right now for around 5-8% ownership.
Okay.
And that might be too high, but I don't know. I'm not going to want to take any team that's going against Kansas City.
It's fair. It's in Kansas City as well. One of my favorite tournament, like, I had Denver down, but I like Arizona for 2,900. I think they're a solid play. Mike McGlinchey is dinged up, the starting right tackle for C.J. Beathard, and we saw Beathard take a big hit at the end of the Week 4 game. So Arizona's defense has been getting a little bit better. They've been struggling against the run, yeah, but I don't know if San Francisco has the tools to rip off, you know, like, what they need to in order to beat the Cardinals. That's why I like the Cardinals' defense. And again, the Eagles, 2,600. That pass rush is pretty nasty. Kirk Cousins has been so hit or miss this year. Like, he's throwing up Hail Mary balls, and Philadelphia at home the last 2 years have been much better. They only allowed 12.4 points per game at home last year. Cousins really struggled against them, even with when he was in the Redskins. He threw 3 touchdowns while he was at home. He didn't have such a good game when he went to Philly. So I think that team just plays better at home. And if you can get him for 2,600 as a home favorite, I'm down with that.
I have two teams. One of them I actually don't believe in at all, and I think it's a crazy idea, probably a bad play. Seattle. It's a horrible idea.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Like, at home, they're going to have no ownership. Like, I would, like, approaching 0% ownership, but they're one of the cheapest teams on the slate.
If a sack turns into a fumble and they score a touchdown on that, and that crap happens all the time in random games, yeah, they hit value plus some, and nobody's on them.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you could tell me that I could have a team that used to be good on defense not so long ago and still, like, the illusion that it should be good on defense and is playing at home where it has, like, the biggest home field advantage in the league and is playing a division rival, a team they used to beat up on and think they probably still should be able to beat, and they're going to be owned at less than 1%. Like, I don't know. Like, I still think it's probably a bad play, but they're intriguing. The other one is Philadelphia. I think they're still going to have relatively low ownership, and I do like them going against Minnesota.
All right, guys, let's go tight end. Is there any random guy you could see scoring 2 touchdowns, Tags?
I think we talked about a lot of them. Like, tight end, a lot of the ones that you think about in cash.
Yeah, Hooper and Vinette are the guys that stand out to me.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think Jimmy Graham is a good play in tournaments. I also think Ertz. I don't think Ertz is a terrible play either. The Minnesota defense hasn't been very good recently, and with Ertz lining up wide, like, he's not always going to be matched up with. I mean, like, we saw last week the Rams take advantage of linebackers with Cooper Kupp. I'm pretty sure Zach Ertz is just as fast as Cooper Kupp, and if he's going to be matched up with linebackers, like, Ertz is the type of guy that, like, he struggled to score touchdowns, but we're going to see them. And knowing that Alshon Jeffrey's matched up with Xavier Rhodes, knowing that Nelson Agholor has sucked, I think Ertz is, like, a guy that's going to create some different lineup construction. So it's going to force you to use some guys that you don't necessarily have in a lot of your other lineups. But I think if I'm paying up, I think Jimmy Graham and Zach Ertz are my favorites.
You know, I'm also intrigued by CJ Uzomah because he's going up against the Dolphins. He's running the majority of the routes, and the Dolphins are another team that you pick on. Versus tight ends. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he sneaks into the end zone once with 70 yards or maybe even gets 2 touchdowns. He's 2,900 on DraftKings.
I don't know.
Nobody is going to own him.
I mean, Gronk, 44 yards against them last week. Cook, 31 the week before. Delanie Walker, 52 in week 1.
I guess you're right. Things do change from season to season, but last year they were just awful.
Yeah, that defense has looked a lot better. I mean, like I said, Rashad Jones, like, there's a lot that depends on this matchup. I think Tyler Boyd gets a big big bump in production if Rashad Jones is out again, their stud safety, because that would move Minkah Fitzpatrick back to safety, which he's played the last 2 weeks. But if Fitzpatrick is playing the slot, Tyler Boyd's going to have a tough matchup on his hands as well.
All right, guys, let's go wide receiver here. Tags, we'll let you go first. Do you have a GPP player, too, that stands out to you?
Odell Beckham, man. Odell Beckham. Like, seriously, like, I know he's 8,000, and I know that people are going to be like, well, you can get Julio and you get Antonio Brown right over there. I get that, and that's fine, and a lot of people are going to play those players. I like those players more than I do Beckham, but a player like him is going to be in man coverage with James Bradbury majority of the game. Okay, James Bradbury has played well. But there is not a cornerback in the league, if you leave him in man coverage, that can beat Odell Beckham Jr. if you get him the ball. Now, there's a lot of ifs there, but those are the chances you have to take in tournaments. It's just rare to see Odell Beckham as low-owned as he's going to be this week.
I love Geronimo Allison. In fact, I like him for cash games a little bit too, depending on his injury status, because he hasn't been practicing with a concussion. And I think he's going to be low-owned as a result of that. Everyone's going to see the questionable tag, even if he's active. If he's active, I think he's going to be awesome because we know Darius Slay is going to be on Davante Adams. And Geronimo Allison is the number 2 with Randall Cobb out. Even with Randall Cobb active, I think he's the number 2. It's a great price on FanDuel. I love Geronimo Allison. Would even consider him in cash games if he's active.
One guy we've mentioned already, but Jordy Nelson, for me, he's more of a tournament play than a cash play. But I think he's going to have, you know, around like 0 to 1% ownership. We have in our models what's called a leverage score. So kind of trying to hit the sweet spot of guys who will have low ownership but have high ceiling projections in our models. And Jordy Nelson obviously has a high ceiling projection. So he's kind of at that sweet spot for me as someone who has the potential of having a big game, but will have very little exposure across the market.
Stephon Diggs is another name for me if he gets matched up against Jalen Mills. I would absolutely love that. Tags, you have anyone else you want to add in?
Yeah. I mean, I put together a couple names for the tournament spot, and I think James Washington, if you're looking to pivot off of Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster, I think James Washington is someone at 3,500. He's seen the deep balls, man. Like, he's seeing, like, his average depth of target, I think, ranks third in the NFL. So he's seeing those targets. So if Ben decides to actually throw the football well this week, James Washington is like a player, one ball changes his outlook for the entire week, and he's 3,500. He's going to be like 1% owned. That's fine. Robbie Anderson, you know, as Matt mentioned, Chris Harris Jr. is going to match up with Quincy Enunwa, and it's going to force Sam Darnold to do some things that he hasn't done yet, which means he has to throw to Robbie Anderson. At 3,800, Bradley Roby hasn't been really good in coverage. I mean, Adam Jones is like 90. So, I mean, Robbie Anderson, now that the legal issues are behind him, I wonder if that just clears up some things and, you know, he gets back on track. At 3,800, I think he's worth a shot in tournaments. The one last player I'd mention is Doug Baldwin, because, you know, if the Rams do score points like we expect them to against Seattle, we're going to see Russell Wilson. I mean, I have no issue with that stack, actually. If you want to stack Russell Wilson and Doug Baldwin for very cheap, you know, you get both of them for $10,100. That's dirt cheap, and they come with tremendous upside. I don't think Nickel Roby Coleman is like a shutdown slot cornerback like Chris Harris, so I'm not necessarily too worried about that.
So we're looking for two touchdowns. Somebody I could see doing it this week is Dante Moncrief. We already talked about Jacksonville going up against Kansas City. He's their primary red zone threat. I know he's not very sexy, but in GPP contests, two touchdowns is a possibility. Someone else that I think a lot of people are going to be off is Golden Tate, because everyone's like, oh, that Marvin Jones price, Kenny Galladay's price is awesome. Golden Tate has been really good, and no one's going to want to spend $7,400, but I could definitely see him going off against Green Bay.
Yeah, I like that. One name I forgot to mention during tight ends, but I think could provide a lot of leverage in the high-scoring Falcons-Steelers game is Austin Hooper. I think so many people are going to be on the receivers, on the running backs, but Hooper, I think, we'll have low ownership, probably less than 5%, but I think he has touchdown upside. The Steelers have allowed the most DraftKings points in the league so far to tight ends. Like, granted, it's a small sample, and like, scoring for tight ends can be kind of fluky, but I think he has a lot of upside.
We've seen him have big plays as well in his career. I mean, he's not the fastest guy, but he's had several of them, so it happens. Two other names at wide receiver before we move on. John Ross every week. Martavis Bryant against the Chargers with Hayward covering Amari Cooper.
Ugh, Martavis, he dropped a friggin'...
Oh, man, it was awful, wasn't it? It wasn't a good pass. He had to adjust. But, like, seriously, Tags, you would have caught that ball.
what are you trying to say?
I mean, you're not an NFL player.
Obviously, I'm not an NFL player. If I was, I wouldn't be recording this with you.
But do you think Martavis is an all right play at GPP?
The matchup, the thing is like, even though people think Amari has a tough matchup with Casey Hayward, Trevor Williams isn't like a great matchup either. He hasn't been great in coverage this year. It's not the worst thing, because he's like that type of player, like a James Washington, where it's like you're tying yourself to a guy that needs one play to essentially hit value. So I have no issue with it. I definitely like the Golden Tate one, though, like, quite a bit, though.
I mean, the thing is, like, so with James Washington, it's like, oh, it takes one play. Like, I have confidence that he will actually catch that pass. With Martavis Bryant, I have no confidence will catch the pass, even when he gets wide open for a touchdown.
It's going to happen. One of these weeks, Martavis Bryant is going to win someone a lot of money.
Yeah.
Probably.
I mean, he's going to have almost no ownership.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, guys, running back, and this is somebody that I say every single week, regardless of matchup, because Philip Lindsay is a lightning bolt. Philip Lindsay can break a big run or two here or there. I don't know if he's going to get 15 carries. They just came out and said Royce Freeman needs more work, but Lindsay has looked awesome. I think he could do it against the Jets. Not banking on it in cash games, but GPP, sign me up.
Philip Lindsay, what do you feel about that, Matt?
I'm okay with it, but if I'm going to go with a, you know, like, smaller change of pace running back who had a lot of production in college in Colorado, I'm gonna go with Austin Eckler, who I think has like a locked in role going against an Oakland defense that has been bad against the run. Eckler's going to have really low ownership, and I think lots of people are going to be on Gordon. So I think he provides a lot of leverage there, and he's popping in a lot of our models. So he's someone who's really intriguing to me, like at 4,200, just so cheap. But I think he has a lot of potential against Oakland.
Tex, who's your first name, man? I've got like five of them.
I think Aaron Jones is an awesome play. 4,300 against the Lions. The Lions are terrible, man. Their run defense is awful. Like, legit bad. Like, Jerod Davis it looks like a bust. Their secondary is, like, probably one of their strengths, and one of the things that Green Bay has working against them this week is that their wide receivers are all dinged up. It seems like Randall Cobb is going to miss this game. It seems like we still haven't seen Geronimo Allison get cleared, and now Devontae Adams' calf... he has a calf injury that he suffered in practice on Wednesday that Mike McCarthy has said that he doesn't even know if he's going to play now. So they might be down their top three wide receivers. They're going to have to run the ball. And honestly, this turns to...
They don't have to. Aaron Jones can do whatever he wants with anyone. You put offensive linemen out there and he'd get 200 yards.
Well, yeah. Well, it's funny because, like, you know, I missed the DFS podcast last week, and a lot of people were messaging me saying, hey, talk about your cash game lock, you know, that we do every week. And I had said it was Ezekiel Elliott on the live show that I did Sunday morning. The Lions defense, like I said, that you can exploit them. Aaron Jones is obviously starting to earn his play a bit more. I don't want them to fall behind. That's a concern. But I think another name that we need to mention right now, because he's probably going to play an extended role with all this stuff going on with their wide receivers, is Ty Montgomery.
Good call, man. Great call.
I mean, Matt, do you think it's possible that Ty Montgomery is, like, overlooked by a lot of people and he's only 3,800 on DraftKings?
Yeah. I mean, I think he, with the problems that they're having at receiver right now, I think he's basically going to be playing as like a pseudo slot guy for them. So, yeah, I like that a lot.
Well, I hope it works out, man.
Yeah. A couple other names I've got. I don't think anyone's going to be on Devontae Freeman, but Tevin Coleman's a little bit banged up as well. Apparently, Freeman is expected to play at this point. We know that Pittsburgh game. If Coleman is ruled out, like, last minute, nobody's going to be on Freeman. Or if, you know, Coleman starts to play and they're like, hey, we need to chill it, Freeman could get 20 touches in this 58 over-under game. I don't think his ownership's going to be very high. What do you guys think about that one?
If he wasn't coming off a multi-week injury, I'd be more open to it. I mean,
maybe Ito Smith then.
Well, Pittsburgh, yeah. I mean, he would be like a deep play for sure. I actually think that would be actually a really good one. So Pittsburgh, with the acquisition of John Bostic, them against the run, they've been a lot better. They haven't allowed a running back over 75 yards this year, and they've played Carlos Hyde, Kareem Hunt, Alex Collins. They've done relatively well. They haven't allowed a rushing touchdown since week one. And as you guys know, in week one, they played like, I want to say it was like 90 snaps they had to play against the Browns. So to see Carlos Hyde total 62 yards on 22 carries, it's not like something they should brag about, but that was the most productive game against them. So Pittsburgh just has been better. And I feel like this game should be nothing but pass attempts. That's how I feel about it. Anyways,
same thing with the Cincinnati game. Gio Bernard is banged up. Joe Mixon's coming back. Oh, he's not playing for sure, but it's not like he needed to get back into game shape. All they did was just put a little hole in his knee and pull something out. They didn't go in there and fix anything. I could see him having a monster game against Miami because Joe Mixon is just an absolute stud. I traded for him before it was too late, and I feel so good about it. I've got him. I mean, he would be a first-round pick if I drafted today.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like Giovanni Bernard is not going to play. He had to miss the final drive on Sunday's game, and now he was held out of practice on Wednesday. And Mixon is saying that he wants to play. He just has to get medical clearance. So if he feels good, he started practicing last week. Mixon would be in play for tournaments against Miami for sure.
All right, my last name, and this is one I'm actually pretty excited about, is Royce Freeman. The coaches said they want to get him more work. And when he runs, he looks awesome. He is a quality running back. The only thing holding him back is Philip Lindsay. If Philip Lindsay gets bumped down a little bit and Royce Freeman gets a bunch of touches, this is someone who could get three touchdowns in a game. At $6,000 on FanDuel, that is going to be impossible to beat. And his ownership is not going to be very high because in GPP, everyone's like, well, what's he going to get, 12 touches? Well, maybe he gets 15 touches and maybe three of those are touchdowns.
I want to see Bobby roll out a lineup with Royce Freeman and Philip Lindsay in it together.
Ooh, I like that, man. I will.
I'd like your guys' thoughts on this. Like, Royce Freeman has run the highest percentage of any back in the league against eight-man fronts, like 54.6%. Why? Like, why do we think that's happening? Or is that, like, something that we think is predictive of, like, how he might be used moving forward? Because if that's predictive, if teams see him on the field and they're like, okay, it's a running play, let's just stack the box, then that makes me really hesitant about him. But if that's something that might change, then I'm not really worried about it.
Yeah, Matt, that's something I noticed too. Royce Freeman, yeah, you said it. It's like 55% of his carries have seen 8-plus defenders in the box, whereas there's only one other running back in the NFL that has seen more than 38%, and that's Alex Collins. I think Denver has been terrible in terms of like their play calling. I think we knew that, though. Like, that was always a concern with Denver, is that their play calling was going to be very... I don't want to use a bad word here, but it was going to be bad. But so to know that Royce Freeman's seeing that, it means they're not disguising basically what they're doing on the field. So anytime Royce Freeman comes on, it's almost predictable. And it, so to know that he's doing that well with that, like with that happening, that's a problem. Todd Gurley, on the other hand, this is proof that Sean McVay is a god. Okay. So Todd Gurley, most people, like, you know, like the casual NFL fan will walk over and be like, hey, Why don't teams just stack the box against this running back? Why don't they just do this? Todd Gurley has seen 8-plus defenders in the box 12.6% of the time this year.
How? What?
That's legitimately in the like one of the 10 lowest. And the reason that happens is because Sean McVay will disguise the coverage. He will move like a tight end out wide, just, and even though he's not going to be targeted, they have to go defend him, which will pull a defender. He'll run three wide receivers on one side of the field, and it'll force them to show whether they're in zone, whether they're in man coverage. Like, Sean McVay is an offensive genius, and the way that he uses Todd Gurley is perfect, because Gurley can be used as a receiver too. They can line him up out wide. It forces defense to keep different packages on the field than you would traditionally see. Unfortunately, Denver doesn't have a play caller like that. So Royce Freeman is going to continue to see stacked boxes the remainder of the season.
Yeah, well, and also just talking about Gurley, it's that thing where they run when it's optimal for them to run. So like it's selection bias there also. Like, when they have a light front, that's when they're running Gurley. And when they have 8 men in the box, they're not idiots. They're clearly not going to run Gurley because they know that there's no point in doing it. It would be better for them to pass the ball. So it's, or like if there are 8 men in the box, but they need only 1 yard, then they're fine with running the ball. But yeah, they're just tags. Absolutely right. The disparity between the stacked boxes with those two runners, like, really highlights how awesome McVay is relative to everyone else in the league, and how poor the Broncos are at calling offensive plays.
Yeah, and to show you just how much coaching matters and like it changes year over year for these running backs, Jordan Howard last year saw 8-plus defenders on 43% of his carries. This year it's 17%. So it's like coaching absolutely freaking matters. And I've said that over and over, but yeah, definitely does.
All right, guys, GPP tags, will let you start first at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned Russell Wilson already. I mean, he's definitely on my radar for tournaments. I think anybody that we're considering in cash can also be considered for tournaments. But I think one that's completely off the radar, but potential, like, I like the idea, is Derek Carr at 5,200. He's dirt cheap. And this Chargers defense has not been good. If you guys haven't watched those games, like, the fact that they're not getting a pass rush, it's highlighting some weaknesses in their secondary. Even though Derwin James has been like fantastic, they have still allowed at least 2 touchdowns in 3 of the 4 games. They allowed 4 touchdowns to Mahomes, 3 to Goff. So it's just like you look around, you're just like, man, this defense can be exposed. And if the Chargers are going to score points against Oakland, which we do expect them to do, it could become a shootout, and in good weather nonetheless. So I think Derek Carr is like an interesting one. He's very hit or miss, which is why I would never trust him in a cash game lineup. But if he's like on, he could throw 4 touchdowns.
There's not many plays I like here. I've got 2 of them. Matt, will let you go first, though. You can steal them both if you want, because I'm not super excited to talk about either of them.
So I like the Derek Carr call, because it's interesting that the Chargers have allowed opponents, I hope I'm not going to say this incorrectly, but the Chargers have allowed opponents to hit their implied totals in all 4 games. They're the only team in the league to do that. And the Chargers have also hit their own implied total in all 4 games. So it like creates this kind of symmetry where like they are scoring points, and it forces the other team also to have to score points. So I do like the Derek Carr call. Blake Bortles, like, I'll mention it. Like, if I'm thinking about him for cash games, like, I'm definitely wanting to stack him up in this sort of like YOLO scenario of him facing the worst defense in the league.
All right. My 2 names, Marcus Mariota at Buffalo. We've seen Mariota do it before. He looked a lot better last week. I don't think he's 100%, but I could see him having a huge game. He's cheap. Case Keenum at the Jets, he's really cheap as well. I said 2, but I've actually got 3. Josh Rosen at San Francisco.
Not bad. I do want to mention, to piggyback on Matt, what he was saying about the Chargers. Every single game, so they've played the Bills were included in this, and as were the 49ers, none of their games have gone under 51 points.
Wow. All right, guys, let's give our locks of the week. Tags, why don't you go first?
This week, I am saying I'm going all out, and I'm going to say that Antonio Brown does his work, and I'm willing to pay $9,100 to see it. You know, so, like, he's not the problem. Ben Roethlisberger's been the problem, but the fact that they're playing against the Falcons is, like, such a bonus, and I mentioned it last week, the Falcons, with all the injuries they've been having at safety, they were forced to move Brian Poole to strong safety, and it slid Desmond Trufant into the slot, which means he would be covering Juju Smith-Schuster. Now, Trufant didn't play well in the slot. It's a completely different position. He's gonna come to relearn it, but because of that, Isaiah Oliver, a rookie cornerback, was forced to play left cornerback, the spot that Trufant used to basically man. This team has no, like I said, so they're starting two safeties that have very, very little experience. Brian Poole's a slot, a nickel cornerback. You have, on the other side of the field, you have Robert Alford, who hasn't been particularly great this year. There's just, it's a mess. They have nothing. So basically, the Steelers, I feel like, can do whatever they want this week. And the way to do that is get Antonio Brown back on track. I by me saying he's my lock, at 9,100, he has to score at least 24 fantasy points, PPR points, to live up to that. He will do that, and he will break that.
I think so as well. He's my lock of the week, and I'm not disappointed that you said it, Tags, because I want people to know just how good this play is. I don't think you can fade him. We have consensus projections on our site, which we pull from a number of sources, and we just add them all together to see what the industry thinks about the player, okay? Antonio Brown is at 20.8. Projected points on FanDuel this week. Second best is 16.9. So the difference between number one and number two is bigger than the difference between number two and number 15. That's how good Antonio Brown is expected to be this week.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Julio Jones is right up there too. But I mean, because Julio is going to match up with, I mean, Matt, I'm curious to hear yours before I go on a rant about Julio.
So I'm tempted to say Gurley. But I'm not going to, although I do really like him. He is the most expensive. So just for, you know, roster construction purposes, it might not work out for people to roster him. So I'm going to go with James Conner. I think he will definitely, and it's pretty much the same logic, you know, for Antonio Brown. It's going to be a high scoring game. There are a lot of weaknesses in Atlanta's defense, and I think those directly impact Conner in terms of, you know, missing two safeties, missing a defensive tackle now, missing a middle linebacker. Like, that just sets up perfectly for James Conner, who is still seeing the vast majority of the snaps and the backfield opportunities. So I think it's a great spot for him.
I just want to mention on that, I love the Conner call, and that's what I'm saying. Conner's going to be my cash game lineup. So even though some people might look at Atlanta and be like, well, they've allowed four rushing touchdowns through four games. Well, not really true. They allowed two to Gio Bernard last week. They allowed two to Drew Brees the week before that. Now, Christian McCaffrey didn't score a touchdown because he never does. And then before that, it was Jay Ajayi with the two touchdown game. So this team, it's basically been a team gets to pick what they do, and knowing the Steelers are at home, knowing they desperately need a win, they might not trust Ben and the goal line, so they might just go to James Conner, and he can get it done against that defense. So like it.
Yeah, like he has like three touchdown upside in this game.
All right, guys, that's all for today's show. Matt, thanks for taking the time to come on.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. And thank you to the sponsors of today's show, FanDuel.com. Remember, they've got those Super Flex contests for you to check out. And Lisa Mattresses, where you can get $160 off your Lisa mattress at lisa.com/fantasypros. That's LEESA.com/fantasypros. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. Pick up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way.
It's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep cook and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust Resistant.